This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. A quick check of data as we get going today on the state of play in this economy. You will see why I'm starting here in just a second, by the way. Inflation, as measured by the Consumer Price Index, sits at 3.2% year on year. Lower than it was, but still higher than the Fed wants it to be. Unemployment is at 3.9%. The economy overall is growing at 4.9% as of the last reading. As I said, more data than I like to throw at you all at once, but the Federal Reserve is keeping track so you don't have to. Austin Goolsbee is the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago. Austin, welcome back to the program. Good to have you on.
Thanks for having me, Kai.
Let me take you back to your data dog roots, as you talked about the last time you were on this program. I need you to decide on one piece of data you're looking at to foretell the future of this economy and also what you at the Fed might do.
Yikes. I'd say of all the pieces that right now I'm looking at, what's happening to housing inflation is probably the most paramount one.
Okay, why?
As you know, the Fed has, by law, a dual mandate: stabilize prices, maximize employment. Those two goals, we've been doing very well on the job market side, and where we have fallen has been on inflation. So the most critical thing over the near term is that we get inflation down to target. And we have been making a lot of progress on getting the inflation rate down. Services move slower. And so the key component is going to be what happens to housing. And it's been making some progress. It's supposed to make more progress, but that's the forefront. That's not the only thing I'm looking at, but that's probably the most important in the immediate term.
Why do you suppose it has taken the markets so long to take the Fed at its word? You know, I mean, you guys have said forever, and by you guys, of course, I mean Powell and all y'all, we're going to do what it takes. We're going to be data dependent. And yet for a very long time, it seemed like the market kind of didn't believe you. And I wonder why you think that is.
I guess I think two things about that. But the first is, I don't know if I totally agree with the premise. Because if you actually look at market behavior, as opposed to just what people say, inflation expectations, as estimated by the market, even as the inflation rate itself got above 9%, unlike basically all previous inflation episodes in this country, the market expectations of where inflation would be in the future never really went up much higher than the target. So there is a fundamental way in which people did believe in the credibility of the Fed when the Fed said, we will do what is necessary to get the inflation rate down. Now, that's a little different than the part of your question that you're asking, why didn't the market rates reflect what we were saying in our economic projections the rates were going to be? I don't totally know why, except to say there are a lot of other things that happen in the world of rates and economic growth than just what the Fed does.
Thank you for clarifying my question, actually. That was a really good explanation. Let me ask you, though, about market rates, right? If you look at the 10-year now, the 10-year is starting to bake in the fact that you guys are going to start cutting rates really soon. And again, that's not what you're saying out loud.
Yeah. The thing about long rates, the Fed, of course, we directly control the short rates.
Right.
We've been going through this period where the long rates were going up and up. Like when we talked on this program, Kai, in April, the thing that was foremost in our mind was Silicon Valley Bank, credit crunch, might there be a credit contraction or even financial crisis? And that didn't happen. So I think that's the main driver that got longer rates up, is that conditions were more positive than we thought they were going to be.
So let me get it out of the realm of rates and markets and all of this and get it to sort of brass tacks about how people are feeling in this economy, right? The economy is, by almost every objective measure, really, really good, right? It's growing. Joblessness is down. I mean, yes, it's historic lows. It's been lower, but whatever. Unemployment is doing really well, right? Wages are up in comparison to inflation, all of those things. And yet survey after survey after survey says people feel lousy about this economy. And I want to know why.
Look, Kai, you do the numbers every day. Has there ever been a bigger gap in the numbers between feelings and reported? I don't know. This might be the biggest ever. It's not just among consumers. I would say if you look at business sentiment, you see a similar thing. We just had GDP growth that was close to 5%. Mm-hmm. In our business contacts at Chicago Fed, we talked to hundreds of business people around the district. Virtually no one was saying, wow, this is a 5% growth economy that we're experiencing right now. So that remains a bit of a puzzle. The number one job that the central banker faces is you got to be able to look at the data and sniff around and figure out what does it mean. And that means you got to know what data series are most accurate and what data series are leading indicators versus lagging indicators and things like that. And it is the case that we know that sentiment data of this form, A, tends to lag heavily actual events in the economy. B, very public prices like the price of gasoline or the price in the grocery store have a very strong impact on people's perceptions of what the inflation rate is or how the economy is doing. And the relationship of sentiment as a predictive variable for consumer spending has largely broken down over the last 10 or 12 years for reasons we partly understand and partly don't. But as a result, I can't really tell you the explanation of why the discrepancy is as big as it is, but I can tell you what we need to see is the actual inflation data getting down to target and the actual employment data. Those are the things that we got to pay attention to.
Right. Last thing, and then I'll let you get back to work. Without asking you to pre-commit, as you are loath to do, about what might be on the table at the next meeting in a couple of weeks, what is your level of concern about overshooting, about keeping rates too high for too long?
Look, it's definitely some concern. We just came out of Thanksgiving season, Guy, and Paul Volcker, my old mentor, was a great turkey cook, and he took a lot of pride in cooking his turkey. And the thing, anybody who cooks a turkey knows that you got to pull it out of the oven before it's to the point where you want it to be, because it's going to have residual heat. And if you just keep cooking the thing for too long, they're going to be like, Mommy, why is Uncle Kai's turkey so
That's
hard
right.
to chew?
That's
you
right.
know, so we've been in restrictive territory because we've got to get inflation down. That's our sacred vow, and we're going to do it. Once you believe that you are on the path to get inflation to target, then the amount of restrictiveness that you need to apply needs to be less. And it was already in the projections that the median dot in the dot plot
right.
was saying rates would, by the end of 24, be down 100 basis points. And, you know, we'll see what it looks like in the next one. At the next meeting, we're gonna have another projection.
Right. Sorry, I said that was the last one. It's not. One more quickie. When you get where you're going, how quickly do you suppose policy response will be made, right? Once we get to 2% and PCE comes out, or CPI, or whichever one you choose to look at, comes out and says, bing, 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 2%. Is it like next meeting, boom, do you think?
In a way, it's too hypothetical to answer
that.
That's
fair. That's fair.
But look, the other part of the job of central bankers, as Paul Volcker used to say, there is no silver lining that is bright enough that he could not think of a dark cloud that could block it out. And part of the job is to think through what are the risks and how will we play it? How will we react? So we meet every 6 weeks precisely so that we don't have to pre-commit how fast we're going to do things. It's going to depend on how the data go.
Austin Goolsbee, he's in charge of the Chicago Fed. Austin, thanks for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Kai.